for a moment.
Good evening and welcome to the STEM 6 radio show. This evening we have a very special guest. We have the distant pleasure and honor of having with us Ewing Township Mayor Bert H. Steinman. Mayor Steinman has been a resident of Ewing for more than 58 years and have been serving as Ewing's mayor since 2011. His current term, which started in January 2020, is due to end December 31st, 2022. Mayor Steinman, thank you very much for being part of our show this evening and allowing us to have time during your busy schedule. Welcome to the show, Ms.
Oh, she froze.
And challenges you have faced as mayor of Ewing. Over the last decade, your future goals, and hopefully you will have time to answer a few questions. Welcome to the show, Mr. Mayor.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure for me to be here. Under these circumstances, it probably would have been much better face-to-face, but this works just as well, and everybody stays safe. So I appreciate the fact that I got invited, and hopefully you'll obviously have a good show, and I'll be able to answer all your questions.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Basically, what we would like you to do is, if you would start off, just tell us a little bit about yourself. I know we gave a little bit about you, that you've been a resident of Ewing for 58 years. That's a long time. That's a pretty long time. So if you could tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll segue into perhaps our questions, okay?
Okay. As you said, I've been a resident here since 1959. Again, it's quite a long time. I'm married, three children, all grown. And I got involved with Ewing Township through a recreational program. There was a call out for coaches and things. So I signed up for it. And then after I got involved with that, things weren't going as well as I think they should be run. So I got involved with the Recreation Commission. And from then on, I just started setting my sights higher and a little bit higher, because I figured if you're involved, you need a seat at the table. And if you don't have a seat at the table, you're heard, but a lot of things fall on deaf ears. So that's how I got involved and basically stayed involved until I ran first time for Ewing Township Council in 2000. In 2000, was elected in 2000, took office in 2001, and I remained a councilman until my election in 2010 to take over as mayor in 2011. And I'm currently serving my third term. I'm in my going into my third year of my third term.
What's your typical day look like?
My typical day varies day to day. I meet with my department heads, every one of them once a month, and that takes me mostly through the week. I meet with them a couple hours a day to go over what they are planning to do and what they're going to do. So that takes up a chunk of my time. I perform wedding ceremonies but I also run a police department and, the whole gambit here, from road work and things like that needs to get done. I field a lot of questions from the general public, if they have a problem with their garbage got picked up or, they've got a nuisance going around. So, the basic stuff that I think a leader kind of anticipates in doing, and to make sure that my constituents are well served. So we try to address every issue. Now, obviously, I can't make everybody happy, or my administration can't make everybody happy, but we try our best to accommodate the needs of the population.
Good question. All right. Anybody else? Questions for the mayor? Come on. I know you guys got questions. Mr. Mayor, go ahead.
How does it feel for to have all these responsibilities? Does it feel overwhelming, frustrating, easy?
A little bit of both. A little bit of, what you mentioned, the rewards are tremendous. When you do your job, there's always really good things, but there's also, a lot of, well, how can I say, there's a lot of frustration in the fact is that you try to do your best possible job, you know, and the complaints that come in, and basically they're typical every day. It's basically the same thing. It's about, you know, the speeding on the street, or, you know, I need speed humps on my street because we got little kids here. So we want to keep our little kids safe. You know, as far as, oh, your trash wasn't picked up. And you'd be surprised that if in your neighborhood, your trash gets picked up, say at 10 o'clock on any given day, then people get acclimated to 10 o'clock that the trash picked up. But if it doesn't get picked up by 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock, we get phone calls saying, hey, the trash people, you know, missed my stop, which is not always the case. Sometimes it is, but it's not always the case. So it is frustrating, but it's also very rewarding to get things accomplished and make sure that, you know, like with the General Motors site, for instance, if you know where that is on Parkway Avenue, that's a brand new construction job that's going on. It's going to have 1,100 residential units and 2,000 square feet of retail space. So that is a real plus for Ewing Township. But that's been in the course of, of a lot of years and a lot of frustration to get to the point where we are now, but it's starting to pay off. So those things are very rewarding.
Anybody else? Don't get me asking questions. Come on.
When did you realize or think like, okay, like I want to like run for mayor and like make a difference?
Because there was a lot, when I decided, I'll be honest with you, when I started out with this, that this wasn't my goal. It wasn't my goal to get into politics. But because there was a lot of things that I saw that in my mind thought it wasn't going in the right direction, I figured, well, if I don't get involved, then, you know, I can't complain if I don't get involved. So I got involved, and the more I got involved, the more I started to concentrate on taking next steps, like from council, and then decided I was going to run for mayor. Now, I ran for mayor once before in 2006, but was not successful. I lost by 300 votes. That didn't deter me. I just kept working at it. And then I ran again in 2010 for the 2011 term, and was very successful. I won by over 3,000 votes. So, but again, it was because I wanted to get involved. I wanted to make a difference. And I think I've made a difference in a lot of things. Not that we can do better. We always can do better. But that was the reason. I just think that Ewing Township was going in the wrong direction. And I wanted to get involved with it. There was a lot of opportunities I thought that the youth were missing out on. And I wanted to be part of that, getting that back into, you know, recreational programs, academic programs, you know, and help the and help our youth.
Mr. Mayor, you said something a couple minutes ago. When the first time you ran, you fell short by about 300, and then the second time it was by you gained a couple thousand. What did you do? Did you do anything specific to increase the voter turnout for you?
Well, I kept staying involved. It's not that I did anything different. It was that the guy that was mayor before me didn't do a lot of things right.
Okay.
So that, I mean, that kind of helped. But, you know, like I said, that was the whole goal. I mean, if I didn't feel I could make a difference, then I wouldn't have ran at all. And it wasn't just about ego for me as far as being the mayor of the township. It's a nice title to have, but you got to work at it. And if you don't work at it, then no sense of being mayor or any type of position for that matter.
Thank you. You guys' show. Ask questions. Mayor's right there.
You mentioned like the youth earlier. So during your current term, what are your future goals for the youth?
Well, we've expanded a lot of programs that we have, and we want to continue to expand a lot of programs. And if we have a youth that are interested in certain subjects or topics, we will try to, you know, do everything that we possibly can to introduce that particular program. And, you know, we've been very successful. We've expanded our recreational opportunities, in town. We opened up for, this is 2 years in a row now, we opened up another splash pad for the younger kids that like to use the summer activities at our pool. So we have one at a splash pad at Hollowbrook and now a splash pad at the Ewing Community Center right here. We've opened, we introduced a lot of different types of programs indoor and outdoor. Our football program currently is really going strong. Unfortunately, with this COVID, we certainly had to cut it back as we did a lot of other sports because currently most of our facilities are closed. So we're anxious to get them open again and getting everybody active.
Right. Keep it coming.
How do you organize and plan and prioritize your work?
Well, every day there's a different challenge, basically. So I sit down with my staff, especially my business administrator and a couple other people, and we talk through exactly how we attack a certain problem. It always works best that way. I don't unilaterally make a decision. I make the final decision, but I don't come to that conclusion all by myself. I sit down and I have people in the room with me to discuss the pros and cons on how we should approach it. Now, if I don't think that's the right path, then I will change it and I will take my own advice basically and do it. But that's rarely that I do that because again, nobody has the right answer. So I always try to talk to as many people as I possibly can to at least get a good education on what it would look like once we have an end product.
You said that when like you make certain decisions, you don't always make everybody happy, but you do try and do your best. So I know it's hard, because some people can be negative and you have to try and keep an open mind and still try and do right by everybody. So in a way, what do you do to try and keep everybody at ease and try and make them understand where you're coming from?
Well, one thing I don't do is I don't get overly excited at anybody, whether it's a great idea or not such a great idea. I try to stay at a level where everybody can kind of just understand me, try not to, although sometimes during this COVID situation has been trying, I try not to raise my voice. But sometimes it does happen, but that's rare. And again, I try to stay on an even keel. And one thing I try to respect whether a person is on my side or not on my side, have an opposite view of what my view is. But I try to respect everybody because everybody should be respected, and I think I should be respected from everybody else too. Again, it's not like we're out to hurt anybody. Occasionally, no matter what you do, you're not going to make anybody happy. And heaven knows I've tried, but again, the harder I try, the more I fail. So I try to do what's right, basically. And I look at the overall picture and make that decision. In my mind, I make the right decision. But not everybody always agrees with that, and that's okay. It's okay to be disagreeable. That's what a democracy is. Give your ideas, work with your ideas, and move forward. And again, not my ideas are not always the best ideas in the world, but collectively we come up with some great ideas.
Mr. Mayor, you mentioned COVID a little bit ago, your frustration with COVID. Has your personal experience with contracting COVID affected the way you dictate some of your policies? Have they caused you to change anything in your policies at all?
Well, I think I've gotten more cautious since I did have COVID, and because it kind of wakes you up, basically. Mm-hmm. Before I was just I'm not going to get it. And not that I was taking a lot of precautions before that. But once I caught it, you come to the realization, you know, anybody can get it. Mm-hmm. And especially in my field, I meet a lot of people during the day and shake a lot of hands. That has stopped, basically. Now, I wear masks all the time. I make mandatory mask wearing in my office, in town hall. And I think the problem I have is that people take this too lightly. They don't think it's going to affect them, and it will affect them. And again, I try to stress that to everybody. Nobody's exempt from this disease, and it's a terrible disease. And yeah. I think everybody, you know, for anybody in leadership position, should take a position where, you know, mask wearing, social distancing, you know, don't gather with a lot of groups, to try to stay safe. But we're not sending a clear and concise message, and I think that is so wrong. But hopefully we can get through this, and hopefully within the next, hopefully year, we'll have a solution to the problem with vaccinations, and you know, at least we'll be on our way to finding some sort of cure, to stem this tide, because it's terrible what's happening.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I asked that question because it's personally applied to me as well, because I caught COVID. And I was, you know, like you, I was cautious in the beginning as well. I did everything that I thought I was doing, but I still caught it, you know, thinking I would never catch it. I still did. And my case was pretty bad. I was in the hospital for 2 weeks. And so it's caused me to, you know, make some changes. Yeah. So I just wanted to see if you've adjusted your life, how you've adjusted your life. You know, and you know, we just continue to adjust and do what we can, like you said.
All right. So most of my meetings now, whether it's a recreation meeting and or a planning board or zoning board, it's all Zoom. We do everything mm-hmm. by Zoom. Okay. And, you know, although I allow people to come into town hall now, it's still close to the public, but it's by appointment only. I just started doing weddings again about 3 weeks ago or so. In-person weddings, but I limit the group to four people. Mm-hmm. That's all that can come in. They have to be masked constantly, and they have to practice social distancing. Okay. But, you know, other than that, we are closed. It's unfortunate. I have to close. We closed our senior centers, and so nobody can go to do those classes that we used to do for seniors and, you know, their activities. And I think that hurts the most, because the seniors are looking forward to their luncheons and, you know, their shows and mm-hmm. things like that, which, you know, now we have curtailed for the foreseeable future. And we've been like that since March. So I'm hoping that there is going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. We're not planning to open up anytime soon, at least not in this year. So we'll see what happens.
While we're on the topic, I may as well ask, have you seen your COVID rates go up or down in the last few months?
Our COVID rates have gone up, especially in the last 3 weeks. And one of the culprits, I shouldn't say culprits, one of the situations was the students from the College of New Jersey. They, you know, some of them believe that they're invincible, and they still gather and have parties. And, you know, we wound up with 18 cases. And with those cases, it puts an extra burden on our health department, because they got to go in now and interview those individuals and then do tracing on who those individuals were in contact with. So we're kind of getting really busy over the last, I guess, 2 or 3 days now. We just had another couple of cases in our grade schools, basically, and they're going for the next the rest of this week. And they're going to be closed and go to virtual learning again. Hopefully we can come back next Monday and, you know, we have a better result. But again, we were flat for a very long period of time until about a month ago. Then we start climbing back up again. It's unfortunate, but it's happened.
Yeah, it's something that we got to watch. I think Cora has a question on here for you in the chat. Can you see it, maybe? Ms. Steinman, she asked, what are the top three issues or complaints your 311 service receives in a year?
Mostly disturbances as far as unruly citizens, loud parties, that type of stuff. That's one of the top that we have. complaints that we have. Then the other complaints that we have is high grass, maintenance type things where people don't cut their lawn. So unfortunately, we have to go out there and, you know, tell the neighbor or tell the homeowner, hey, listen, buddy, you got to go out there and cut your grass, because if we're going to come out and we cut the grass for you, it's going to cost you like $80 and, mm-hmm. you know, and you're going to have to pay it. So in any event, those are the things that, you know, we have. And the other thing is legitimately so. Speeding through these residential streets. We get a lot of complaints where people want speed humps and more stop signs. And so we try to stay on top of that. But I get a lot of pushback for a speed hump because it does slow emergency responses now.
Okay. Anybody else? Let's go. This is your only chance to ask the mayor some questions.
Emily just asked, why do you think it's important for people to vote in the local elections?
Because the people that, it's important that you vote, period, whether it's for local elections or on a national level that we're going through now. But it's important, especially for a local election, because those are the individuals that dictate on what happens in your own community. And if you don't like what's happening in your own community, then you need people that are like-minded that you are, that you can get the things that, you know, you hope that would help. Because if you don't vote in the local election, basically, if you don't vote in the local election, then people are just basically taking that, right, everything is fine, you know, everything is great, you know, there's nothing wrong going on here. I'm fine with the community when not everything is fine. You can't complain about when something doesn't get done or there isn't another activity that you would like to have seen if you don't vote. You gotta make sure your voice is heard. If your voice is heard, people will listen, especially politicians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
What is your most effective platform that has kept you in office?
My most effective platform is that I communicate with people. I meet with people personally. Well, obviously not during with COVID. Now it's more phone conversations, but I answer my own phone most of the time. Not always, because I, you know, kind of get busy, but I do return every phone call that's made to me. And I'm very proud of that. So, you know, there's a lot of things that I believe that I've accomplished in my tenure here, that I've been my 10 years now. But one of the things that I pride myself in is that, in fact, I do answer my constituents. I used to do an article in the Ewing Observer that is Ask the Mayor Questions, and I answered them every month. We haven't done it in a couple of months, but I do that. So again, I stay in touch and focus with our general population. I'm not afraid to be out there and seeing if there's an issue in a certain neighborhood, I go to that neighborhood and have conversations.
Good. Thank you, son. Anybody else? Well, you guys are thinking I wanted that. Mayor, does Town Hall have a way that they gauge like the national voting that's going on right now in Ewing, as far as how many people are voting and so forth and so on?
Well, we do. We don't really drill down to that minute, but we do know that as far as Ewing Township is concerned, we probably already have like 45 to 50% of the votes that were cast in the last election have already been cast by absentee ballots, and it's climbing. So there's a high demand or a high output of people are anxious to vote. So we're very, you know, we're happy with that. The more people vote, the more you're going to wind up having a country that you want to invest in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Floor is open. Come on.
Do you feel like you get a lot of violence in a typical day?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Do you feel like you see a lot of violence in your neighborhood, in Ewing, in your typical day?
No, I don't. I really don't. We're a fairly safe community, and it doesn't mean that we don't have incidences. But it's a great community. People get along with one another pretty well. Every neighborhood has a neighborhood watch, or you know, a group of individuals that meet and they talk and they bring their grievances forth if they have it. So that's good. So Ewing is unique. It's not an overly big town. It's not a small town, but it's not overly big. And I think for the most part, we all kind of get along with one another. And again, that doesn't mean that we don't have our problems. We do. But as far as violent crime and things like that, we're very lucky in that sense. But we have a very good police force that we have, where we engage our citizens with them, with our community policing. And I want to continue it and expand it, because there's nothing more important than having the police out there, and that there's a presence, that they come and actually talk with you and not just drive by in their cars. So that's why we started again with the bike patrols in the park, you know, have neighborhood watches that we go to and have a walk. So that has made a big, big difference, because people feel comfortable now with talking to a police officer, he or she, and so it's worked out really well.
How does your, how would I say it? Do you have what are some difficult decisions that you had to have made for Ewing?
Well, some of the difficult decisions that I had to make for Ewing, most of them came through COVID, where I had to shut everything down basically, and furlough people. That was very difficult to do. Right now we brought everybody back to work, but that's a difficult time, and that's why I'm not looking forward to, if there is going to be that next wave, that we may be in that same position again, because basically it puts a lot of burden on the town and its finances when you do that. And it's difficult to handle those situations. It's tough, and the situation changes basically from week to week as to what you need to address. I shut a program down because they're just the individuals involved in that particular program, you know, they weren't cooperating with the rules, and there was constant problems with it. So we had to shut the program down. So luckily everybody kind of came to their senses and is back up and running again. Those are the things that are tough. You never want to shut anything down or close anything down. You want to try to expand on what you have and what you have to offer. So sometimes it's difficult to say no to people, but it has to be done.
So has COVID had a serious negative impact on businesses in Ewing?
Yes, obviously. I mean, restaurants were closed for a long period of time. Even now they're struggling, even with the 25% capacity and with outdoor dining now that we've extended that. It's still, you know, they're still, the numbers are still way down from what they were. They're trying to cope with what they have. And there's probably one or two businesses that are in Ewing that probably are not going to make it, and it will stay closed permanently, especially beauty shops and things awesome. Like that, where just nobody's going.
I know for a fact that COVID really affected small businesses. So I don't know if you have a plan, or if you already had a plan and went into start already, but what is your plan to help small businesses come back from the COVID pandemic, I guess?
Well, as far as financially is concerned, there's not a whole lot that the municipality can do. It's more on a state and federal government level that they can have, help. Put out an edict saying that, okay, your taxes are exempt for the next two or three quarters. I can't do that. I have to have legislation that has to be done. And then it's only through the state actions that we can do that. And although the governor has done some of that, it's not far-reaching enough. I think we have to get another package out there that to help the small business owners. But as far as our community is concerned, the local government, we don't have that power to waive taxes and or give any type of other relief. We do what we possibly can. If they came for a permit or they needed a special license for something because they want to have an event, in those particular situations, I can waive the fees that they don't have to pay. But that's just on a small basis. But the bigger picture, whether it's taxes, sewer bills, anything like that, that is something that I cannot waive. As a mayor or my the council cannot waive that. That has to be done through the government and legislative actions.
Can you take a couple more questions, Mr. Mayor?
Sure.
What are some similarities and differences between Trenton and Ewing?
I don't think there's a lot of differences between Trenton and Ewing. I just think that Ewing is a little bit more manageable only because of our population. We're about 40,000 people. Basically, Trenton, I think, is a little bit like 85,000. So it's a double as far as population is concerned. I think our approach to the community is different than the city of Trenton. I gave you an example. Like we have a community policing program that we do. So we send our police officers into the community to have conversations with residents and youth, calm their fears about anything. And that has worked out really well for us. Now, not to say that we don't have the occasional problem. I don't pretend to know what the city's problem are, although I do think that their legislative body really, they kind of oppose the mayor constantly. When the mayor wants to do something, there's always enough people there saying, no, we can't do this or we can't do that. And it kind of is like an anchor, basically, that kind of drags you down. Where the council that serves with me have been very supportive of me over the years. And not that we have our differences, but we try to iron them out. In the city, that doesn't seem to work that well. And I know a lot of the political people in the city of Trenton, but that's disappointing. Because I have to tell you, and I think that a lot of people will agree with you, if the city of Trenton would kind of rebound to the glory days of the 40s and 50s when I was growing up in that area, because I used to live in the city before I moved to Ewing Township, and it was a bustling, vital city. Basically, there was a lot of things that were happening. But when the city has a lot of vitality, so does the townships. I mean, we thrive on that. So if there's a lot of things happening in the city of Trenton, that translates to more activities for Ewing Township or Lawrence Township or Hamilton Township. So, you know, when the city kind of went into the decline, it put more pressure on us to do things a little bit different. And we've done things a little bit different, and we're certainly independent. But if the city makes a comeback, and I hope it does someday, that, you know, it will benefit the whole region, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Along with that question, Mr. Mayor, are the residents involved in the decision-making process of Ewing? I mean, do you involve the residents in that decision-making process? And if so, how?
Well, we have boards and commissions that I appoint people to, or people can volunteer for. It's like the Recreation Commission, the Zoning Board, the Planning Board, the Green Team, the Environmental Group, those types of situations. The Art Committee, or artists. We have what we call Artist of the Month, although we had to stop it because of that. We do an art program right here at Town Hall where we feature the artist of the month. They hang their paintings or sculptures, put them in town hall, and they're open for review during for the whole month. And they do the, they get an article in the paper. So yes, we do. And they have civic groups that come and visit visit us and have a conversation. So yeah, we do that. We you know, our drug and alcohol alliance group, they meet basically, and you know, they have private citizens. The group's about 20, 25 people that they have on there. But again, all those boards and commissions, you can volunteer for them. All you have to do is just say, hey, I'm interested in doing that, fill out a resume, and you know, we'll have a discussion with you. Because the more the merrier. When people have ideas, and they have great ideas, things just work a lot better.
Exactly. Okay, well, time for one last question for the mayor. Come on, somebody.
What are some future plans do you have for your community?
I'm sorry, you want to repeat that?
What are some future plans that you have for your community?
Obviously, we are we're very optimistic about our our developments that are happening in Ewing Township. And I've been on the forefront with that, whether it's the General Motors site or, you know, other areas where we can do development. Because if you don't do development or redevelop areas, basically, you're going to wind up getting a stale community. And when you have a stale community, there'll be no growth. You get no new individuals coming into the community. Younger people would want to leave. And young people need to stay in our community because it makes the community vibrant. Otherwise, the community just gets old. And, you know, and again, there's nothing wrong with growing old because I'm there myself. But again, you need a mix of, you know, young and middle and, you know, old. And because that's what makes the community, because you've got different groups with different ideas. And it's great to see. And Ewing Township, its population is actually growing. Over from 10 years ago. So we're happy about that. And it's a younger population. A lot of younger individuals with kids are coming into the community. And that's what makes the community vibrant.
And Cora asks, what are you most, and what you just explained, Mr. Mayor, what are you most proud of over the last 5 years that you've accomplished? What is your most, the accomplishment that you're most proud of?
Well, what I'm most proud of is obviously is the way we treat our citizens and try to be compassionate in what we do. But the other thing is that our development is starting to pay off dividends. And for those that know a little bit of finance, our bond ratings are really, really, really good. And bond ratings, when you have a really good bond rating, so if you have to go out to the market to borrow money to build roads or do infrastructure, you can get it at a much, much better rate than if your bond rating was really, you know, really bad. So again, I'm proud of that fact, is that we've built it up over the last 11 years. So we're able to borrow money, and our money borrowing, I don't go over borrow because we're really below what we are allowed to borrow, but I don't want to get to a point where we're at our maximum. We're probably at about 2%, 3% of what we can actually borrow. But again, that makes a big difference. Again, and the money part of it, the interest that you're paying on that, it makes it feasible to go ahead and make those projects. But again, it's about the community. It's about the citizens in the community, and trying to, you know, answer as many questions as I possibly can, you know, and to try to accommodate wherever possible as much as we possibly can. And I think we have a pretty vibrant community when it comes to that.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, thank you very much, sir. I don't know if there's anything that you wanted to add and end with, but thank you very much for coming on and taking on our questions and for informing us. I've learned a lot about Ewing.
I appreciate it. And I do want to say to your young people there, this is exactly what you're doing now. Continue to do this. Get involved with the community, even if it's small things, but just get involved with the community. So you can start in your own school. you know, get involved with student council, get involved with some of the programs that you have, because basically you are going to make that difference. And when you are making that difference, the democracy works better.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for honoring us this evening, for coming on and again, just fielding our questions and answering our questions. And we really appreciate it. Maybe one day we can do this again. If you get reelected, are you running again?
Well, that's a decision that I'm still a little bit away from making.
Yeah.
That.
Yep. Okay.
You know, you'll be the first to know. How's that?
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. And again, thank you. Have a good evening, and we appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. All right, guys. I'm going to ask you guys some questions. What do you think? Tell me what you thought. Tell me how you felt. How did you feel about some of his answers? This is you guys. Let me hear it. What did you think? What did you think about the show?
I felt good about the show.
Mm-hmm.
I like how he answered the questions. Very informative. Very full. No, nothing that make me second question him or something like that. Mm-hmm. Very. I liked his answers a lot. Okay. It felt good.
How about you, Cora? You asked a number of questions. How did you like his answers?
They were good. There wasn't any room to like poke holes.
Oh, look at you. There wasn't any room. He tightened everything up. You couldn't poke holes in his arguments.
Nope.
What do you think was the most for you, if you were gonna vote for him, what did he say that would have pushed you over the top to vote for him?
When I asked what he was doing to like progress the city, and he gave actual answers instead of like in Ohio, they would have just said like, oh, we're just gonna do, and then they'll name like the basic stuff. Mm-hmm. He gave specific arguments.
Okay. How about you, Zoe? Why would you vote for Mayor Steinman? Why would you vote for him? Or not both.
I need to know more about his plans, because you basically talk about like the top, like the layer, like the first layer of the cake. I want to get like more of what his plans is. And also I'm mostly for like the youth involvement and community involvement and how the police are going to help people, make them feel safer. But for now, I'm like a maybe. So okay. I'm not going
to. You wanted more ingredients to that cake?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Okay. How about you, Malaysia? What did you hear from him that you liked?
Like Zoe said, he like basically covered like top of it, but like didn't like really get into
the very specific. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He didn't like get into the nitty gritty. Like, yeah, he named all the positives, but he basically did what movie premieres do. Like, oh, this is good. Oh, this is great. But they didn't give like the negative. Like,
okay. They
like,
just,
you need both sides.
He just gave you a trailer. Is that what you're saying? He gave you a trailer.
No, like, you know how like movie reviews, like the reviewers.
Mm-hmm. And okay.
When you see it in the ads, they'll give you like the positive ones, but they'll never give you like the negative ones.
Okay.
He didn't give us anything to like go off of. Yeah, he gave us all the good stuff, but what are all the bad stuff he's done to counteract the good stuff?
Okay. And sorry, I didn't get a chance to get to that. I didn't want to bombard him, because you did ask at the end what trend is most worrisome. So that would have given him an opportunity to go into the negative. But he did mostly talk about the positive. How about you, Carl? Would you vote for Mr. Steinman if you could vote? You with me, Carl? Oh, actually, you, Yanni, since Carl.
Hold on, Yanni.
Let Carl answer real quick. I'll come back to you. Go ahead, Carl. What'd you think? The question is, first of all, what did you think about, you know, just overall, the interview with the mayor, and based on some of the answers that he gave, were those answers sufficient enough for you to cast a vote for him?
I ain't gonna lie to you, I ain't really care for it. Cause y'all said he was, I thought she was talking about the Trenton mayor, and then she said that it was the UN mayor, so I really didn't really care for it, cause I don't be out there.
Okay, well, we're gonna get a chance to get try to get our mayor, Trenton mayor on too, you know. But he's the mayor of the town where you go to school at, and you know you have a high school right next to STEM Civics. So he kind of does play into your life a little bit. But let's pretend you had to vote for him. Is he somebody you think you would vote for based on what you heard from him?
Let's say it again.
Let's pretend, okay, that he was somebody that you had to vote for, okay? Like, let's say you lived in Ewing, okay, and you were able to vote. Based on everything that you heard him say this evening, okay, was that sufficient enough for you to say, yeah, I think I could vote for this guy?
I feel like he didn't really answer the question directly. Like, he was kind of going around it a little bit. Like, he would start talking about other things first before he answered. I might be tripping.
Here's a tip for politicians. They never directly answer the questions. They beat around the bush and then they strike.
Listen to you. Listen to Carl. Hey, you know what, Carl? You're hitting it on the head. You're definitely hitting the nail on the head. But not all politicians
do. My dad makes me watch too many politics shows for me not to pick up on that.
You picked up on that?
They never answer it directly.
They always
be like, I did this, this, and this. And then when they know that they got stuck and that they didn't answer and everyone notices, they'll then hesitantly answer it. They never answer it directly at first, though.
But Cora,
listening.
Do you think based, you know what? I'll come back to that. Yanni, what were you going to say? Yanni, I want you to answer first before I come back to that question with Cora. What were you going to say, Yanni?
I was just going to say that I think that he, like, the way he said all those positive things, like, you could tell he really likes his town, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to vote for him, you know, if I lived in Ewing and I were to vote for him, I would vote for him because he sounds like he really cares about his town, and he's saying all the positive stuff. But what I didn't like was that when he said, like, there's not a lot of differences between Trenton and Ewing. I feel like there's a lot of differences between Trenton and Ewing.
I agree with you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's about it.
I agree with you in regards to he seemed to really be focused. He seems to be a very people-oriented mayor, that he's focused on his people a lot. And the question that I asked him about, you know, involving his residents, I liked his answer. Because he listed a whole bunch of opportunities, you know, that residents, and it goes to your concern there, Zoe, where he had a lot of different opportunities, different forums that residents can interject themselves into, so that they can be part of the decision making process. You know what I mean? And so I like that answer. Okay, that's how residents get involved. You know, you get involved in that council or that forum and so forth and so on to help make the decisions that guide your city, perhaps even your state and so on. So I like that part too, Yanni, as far as the way he's focused on his people. What was something that he said that probably took you back a little bit, maybe you didn't like? Was there something that he said specifically that you can think of that you did not like?
Nothing that I remember. Mm-hmm. I still like he said everything that he should say, you know.
What? I'm sorry, one more time, Yanni. I didn't.
I said I have no negative, you know, statements about him, because he said everything that he should say. He said everything he was supposed to say. So okay. I don't think there's a lot of negative.
Okay. Did you like his answer? Because I think it was Emily that asked about is it important for people? Why is it important for people to vote in the local elections? Did you hear his answer? And did you like that answer?
You talking to me?
Yeah, anybody. You know, the answer that he gave, did you agree with that answer? Did you like that answer? Like, why is
for
it important?
For the most part.
Okay, why is it important, Cora? What are some of the things that he said? Why is it important for you to vote?
I feel like he should have just left it at a yes, it's important for you to vote. And then he lost me when he kept talking. Like, you know how like,
but no, he was listen, qualifying.
No, listen. Uh-huh. No, listen.
Okay.
You know how like the more you talk,
mm-hmm.
and then like you ever like someone like they answer your question, but then they keep talking, mm-hmm. and you're like, okay, just shut up.
Okay.
You answered the question. Just
is that
shut up.
The, is that the way you felt? You just wanted yes. a yes or no. You just wanted a yes or no answer from that. You didn't want him
no,
to qualify.
I feel like he said he should have just said yes, and then but, and then he should have stopped when he after he said you should vote at like locally and federal.
Yeah.
And then just
uh-huh.
stop there, because then like you can back yourself into a corner when you keep talking.
Well, not with that. You think with that question, he backed himself in the corner, Zoe? Like the. How do you think he answered that question? I'll ask Zoe. How did you like the answer to that question?
I like how he emphasized that it was important because a lot of people don't understand like your vote really counts. And you're like, you know, commercially, like your vote is your voice. Like that is highly important. Like that is the main thing of being American citizens, like voting. So I like how he emphasized it. But like what Cora said, he kept dragging it to a point was like, oh. Okay.
You can stop that. Like,
the way Zoe answered it would have been perfect, you know? Like, mm-hmm. your vote matters, blah, 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 blah. And then
But I think he just went in to say why your vote mattered, and perhaps some of the stuff that he was saying was a little bit too, you know, too detailed, okay? But I think that's what the point he was trying to make. He was trying to tell you why your vote matters, the things that can happen. But he could have just said, "Hey, your vote is gonna allow you to make changes. That's how you have your voice heard, you know, and that's how you can implement changes." Go ahead, Cora. You look like you want to say something.
Like we asked for a summary of a book, and he gave us the whole story.
Hey, like you said, that's what politicians do. I was hoping
which
somebody.
Which is why I hate politics. I don't like politics for that reason.
You wouldn't want to get into politics? That was going to be my next question.
I hate politics.
Is there anybody here that think that they would like to get into politics?
Me personally, no.
No? Why not? Really?
Well, there is an explanation to it. Not everybody keeps it to the policies. Some people, you know, your personality does matter and what you do out there does matter. I don't see myself as really being a politician because it is a lot of hard work. And I don't think right now, because I'm a teenager, so obviously I'm not ready for that stage level, but maybe when I'm like, who knows, 30, I will be ready for that stage level. But right now, me as a politician, that's not clicking in my head for now.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to make change, I do endorse and embrace that you want to make a change out in the world. You know, it is always good. If you want to make a change out in the world, you got to go make the change. It's not, you have to wait for the mayor or this person to make change. You know, you can't wait for the principal to always make the change. You have to be the one that takes the first step.
You have to voice, you have to be the first voice, so to speak.
You have to voice your opinion and what you want to do and what you want to accomplish out there.
Okay. What do you think, Carl? You think you could be a politician?
Yeah, no. Mm-mm.
You can be a politician. I think you'd be a great politician, Carl. Mm-hmm. You have this cynical personality to be a politician. No. Do you like you like people, don't you?
It depends who the people is.
I know. We had this conversation in the last show. You're not a people person. You've already established that, Carl.
Yes.
You've already established that. Zenobia. Zoe. How about you?
I could probably like help a politician and work with a politician, but being a politician, you got to do like a lot of work, and I don't think I'm mentally prepared for that, but I will like be partners or friends that create, you know, network with politicians.
Okay. All right. Hey, that's great. That's great. So you want to be in that connection. So you can, that's how you would, that's how you would affect it. Okay. All right. I mean, I couldn't be a politician because, you know, I have bad history. So I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I mean, out of everything that he said, you know, the question that I wish one of you guys would have asked him is the one about the 16, 17 year old, like what changes, like, for example, if you guys were able to vote, remember I asked that question, if you guys at 16 or 17 were able to vote, would he do anything different in his county? You know, and you know, I'm gonna ask you, do you think he would do things differently if 16 and 17 year olds were allowed to vote? No? Okay. Why not, Zoe?
Well, see, when I'm not explaining. Okay, so if we're allowed to vote, that's just like more votes for whoever. It's not mainly their focus. They're focused on the public mostly. And with that, I'll ask him about like the youth and like how he helped the youth, and he kind of answered that question, but it wasn't
You don't think he answered that thoroughly enough?
Yeah, they're like kiddie pools. Okay, that's nice, but like,
the answers that he should have gone more in depth with, he didn't go more in depth with. Answers that were like short and sweet, mm-hmm. he made paragraphs.
Okay, so you think, okay, from what I'm hearing, and let me know if anybody else is in that game as well. From what I'm hearing, you don't think he answered the youth questions long enough, like the one that Zoe asked, and I think Rafe asked a question about the youth as well. So you don't think he was strong enough in his youth questions? Is that what you're saying, Cora?
Yeah, like, he doesn't understand the youth enough, which is why he kept it short and sweet, is what I think.
Okay. That's a pretty good
perspective. I personally think that he's trying to understand the youth, you know, it does seem like he's into getting us into the youth programs and the youth department. Mm. But personally, you know, I think you have to keep up with, I'm sorry, but like, you have to keep up sometimes with the times with us. Because, you know, every generation changes. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be, you know, like his generation as teenagers or your generation as teenagers. You know, we're going to, every generation changes over time. So we have to keep up with what teenagers are into and what teenagers want to do with their lives and what we can do to help them.
You know, as I was listening to him, I'm going to ask you guys, because I know what I thought about this. Remember at that in the point where he answered one of the questions when he went back to when he was a boy back in the 50s living in Trenton, okay? And as you were listening to that, I know how I was doing it. How were you feeling as he was saying that? When he took himself back to 1958 Trenton and tried to, you know, kind of like hoping that, you know, things were the same as it was back then. That's the gist that I got anyway. What did you get from that? You remember that part of the conversation?
Yeah.
What did you get from that, Zoe?
So I got like a little history about like how Trenton was for like back in the day. Like we was like good with like what the type of meat it was. I forgot what type of meat it is, but like we was like a booming industry with that type of meat. And so it was like, you know, like a wealthy neighborhood and like nice houses and this and that and the third. And then I don't know what happened, but suddenly just went downhill. Now we got like homeless people, abandoned houses, abandoned schools, and it's just terrible. So I don't think he knows like how it was from the 50s and 60s compared to now, because it's changed drastically. So it's like,
do you suspect that he knows? Don't you suspect that he knows what happened, Yanni?
Huh?
Do you suspect that the mayor knows what happened from 1958 to now that deteriorated Trenton?
No.
You don't think he knows? Okay. He's too old for that, huh?
Yeah.
I suspect that he knows, but he just could not voice everything right here and now. And you know, Trenton has deteriorated, and he acknowledged that. You know, I wish you could have pointed us in a direction as to, you know, what you guys, the youth, can do to bring Trenton back up. I think he did, but like Gore said, he spent a lot of time saying things that weren't necessarily, you know, relevant or important, as opposed to perhaps having said something more significant in regards to bringing Trenton back up. Hey, listen, this was great, and I thank you guys for coming on and fielding questions to the mayor. I want to thank our listeners for joining us this evening, and we hope that you join us again next week when we'll be interviewing another somebody, and you'll find out who it is when you join us next week. Thank you again very much, and thank you for joining us here on the STEM Civics Radio Show. Have a great evening, and we'll see you next time. Good night.